Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, I wanted to share today about some of the whys. Some of the whys, you know, why VFNTV and the daily radio program. And we have great aspects still unfolding of what we're going to do in VFNTV and the daily radio program. We're just gradually working our way, building our strength, letting God show us how things are going to come to pass. But even right now, and right approximately 6 months ago, whatever, the launch, that we're already reaching the world in a very short period of time. And we're so glad to have you as part of our audience. We believe that you are the beginning of a multitude that are going to be seeking out a sanity in the midst of great insanity. I mean, when you look at Washington, D.C., you can't help but say, are you serious? Are you embarrassed? When the third person that's in line to the presidency during the last term of the presidency says openly that we need to vote for the bill before we know what's in it, that's huge. And Nancy Pelosi was third in line as a Speaker of the House to the president. So if the president and the vice president make it, the one who says, listen, we need to vote for it and approve it first before we read it, that's like, and you think, and you say, oh my goodness. Their minds are blinded. The wisdom is absent, and they're just focused on, you know, trying to satisfy the flesh-driven aspect of Americans, where we're just saying, give me. And they're just focused on a vote. And I believe that even John Paul Jackson talked about that, and you can see some of those words on the VFN Torch go up, says preparing for the storm, I think, perfect storm. And it'll talk about some of those things. But when, you know, and Pat, you can vouch for some of these, but you know, we God had given us a mandate. It's a big process. You hear about when you hear about the virtual stadiums, when you hear about the conversation that I have about you standing with us to help fill the virtual stadiums. And I thank you for everyone that's been given financially. It's so encouraging to see you hear what's going on, and you take your time to give financially to be able to carry what God said. And you know, God's going to lay it on certain people's hearts. Say, you know, I'm sticking to the end. This is important. This conversation is important, and maybe this will even encourage you more. But you hear the story about how we got to where we are. So I'm not going to necessarily repeat that. But there was a point this year when you know VFN TV and Data Radio Program, when I first announced it to the leadership, maybe a year prior to that or whatever, we were in a gathering, and as I began to talk about VFN Radio, but the God's presence dropped so powerfully. It was so powerful that just people began to weep and cry out loud, and it was just this release inside of all the leaders. It was amazing what was taking place, and God just came down and touched it. And he says, you know, this is me. This direction is me. And we have so many parts of VFNTV and Data Radio Program that still has yet to unfold, but knowing that we stepped out in obedience. But what happened was, and so we knew that was coming, and we were like building foundation like crazy, nonstop. You know, you should see the gray hair on Pat's toes. Just a joke. You know, we kept a low profile for quite some time as God was teaching us, and we were watching him unfold things, and we were watching miracles and deliverances, and God, you know, speaking to everybody, it seems, in dreams, and then confirming situations, and then moving in that when they moved in faith. And we were learning how God works, because for so long we were traditionalists who just showed up and did church, and God called us out of that, and we began to be the church instead of just going to it and watching it, and learned so much about it. But there came a time, you know, when, you know, so we had this awesome revelation of what God had given us inside of us. And I, you know, I look at VFNU, and if, oh my goodness, I'm not going to talk much about VFNU right now, but as the more I look at VFNU, it's just this huge explosion. All I can say is like a fire hydrant of revelation, just a cannon that just blew out during a period of time that just laid each component out in a powerful way. The Vine Seminar just blew out. And I go back and I look at it, and I'm like, that could never be reproduced. You know, that could never, it was just God. Everybody, God just speaking. And people say, well, I'm a prophet. It's like, okay, prophesy. And I was like, all of VFNU is a prophetic word.
Right.
And a great turmoil and birthing that came out. That's remember right. all that, that oh, turmoil. Yeah. And so, you know, all these things are being unfolded. And so here you are, imagine you're carrying this treasure, and it, if, you know, you can get to the people and share it with them, then they're going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
When they hear the message of the kingdom of God, when they hear the reality that God's word is true and that book of Acts is not a history book, it's actually an operations manual for us. When they hear this, they're going to be excited. When they see the signs, wonders, and miracles following, like supposed to follow those who believe, then they're going to just go after God. And so the first thing that happened when Moses was born and he had this call on his life, immediately Satan went to go kill and destroy him and to kill all these babies, trying to kill the person who was going to help set people free. And then when Jesus was born, when they found out about him, you know, Herod went to try to find this deliverer, mm-hmm. who was going and try to kill and killed all these babies, trying to hope, mm-hmm. they're going to kill the ones delivered. And literally, you know, to be frank with you, there's been a lot of people used trying to kill.
That's right.
Kill the container. We're not going to call no names, but I do want to say thank you, because what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And there's nothing like being trained up by your brothers.
That's right.
You know, ask Joseph. Anyway, so in the context of that, but there's this one meeting, you know, and this is all about authority. Remember, when Jesus spoke to anybody, the response is, who is this one that speaks with such great authority? And God, Jesus says, I give you the keys, the authority of the kingdom. And so what happened is the church gave up their keys. They gave up their keys. I mean, I was listening this morning, which seems really cool, in Germany, where Iranians are becoming Christians in Iran. They're going to Germany, and they're joining the churches there because they want to be a Christian. But the thing is, the details of that is that the church's tithes are collected by the government, and once you actually get baptized in the church, then you become a citizen. So they're teetering between, this could either be, you know, somebody wanting to get away from Iran and become a citizen of Germany, and they pay their that's why the Catholic Church in Germany is considered one of the biggest churches in the world because of that. It's like, isn't that wild? Anyway, won't go there. And so, you know, with that it's about authority. And so when you start finding out, well, if the church doesn't have the keys, who's got the keys? Because the last few people I talked to were scared half to death.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember going to Israel? It's like, you're the one taking, you're scared. It's like, let's just go. Let's just go. It's like, do you want to walk on the wall? Do you want to walk 6,000 miles? I want to walk on the wall. You know, you might get shot. Listen, I've been in ministry for years. I've been shot a lot.
Right,
of
right.
You know, what an honor right here on the wall. And so,
mm-hmm.
and with that, understanding that, you know, I said, well, who has the keys? I mean, where's the authority at? And so then we had one particular meeting that just kind of kicked it off. I mean, totally just like, because I began to see, you know, thinking at first, we're looking at America and the direction it's going with all this inside of me, that, hey, we need, I had a particular person come to my home, and they were going to run for a particular office, an office of authority. And I thought, oh, man, that's it. Because if we get mm-hmm. the right authority in place, then what's coming to America, that would really help out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pat and I went to go meet with somebody
mm-hmm.
that was presently in authority, and just ask questions and to talk and just kind of find out which way we need to go or whatever, just because it's so important, because we're thinking about deliverance of a nation. We're thinking about the continuation of the preaching of the kingdom of God, the loss of any First or Second Amendment rights and these type of things. And so, and we know it's going to be a huge fight coming in America. It's going to be a huge fight coming in America. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen anything yet. And so who's going to be this person? And so we sat down just to listen and to ask questions, because it's the representative government. So you should be able, since you are the one, the government by the people, you're supposed to ask direct questions so that you can actually choose the direct person that you want to represent you. Are you going to read the bill before you?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And it was amazing what spirit came out of this person. It was amazing. It was just wild, wasn't it?
Yeah, real wild.
It was like totally out of left field. And it was just like, ah! It's like, oh my goodness. And the enemy just second heaven just poured in, you know, second heaven. I'm talking about Ephesians 6:12.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized at that point, he's like, oh my goodness. The church is the only hope. The church following Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only hope, and an obedient church, not an organization church, but believers who are walking in the authority of God. And so that one meeting, and then another particular meeting happened a little bit later on, just continuing on with the same thing, that I realized that, you know, it's not that. It's just be in the church that God's called us to be. And we realized at that point that, and God spoke prophetically to me in several dreams, that the enemy would want to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy want to water down the word or put doubt in the word or come in from all these different attacks and these angles. And so the safest place for what's about to happen in America and for this message is to be as public and as out there as you can possibly be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hello, you know, my name is Greg. I'm here. You know, I'm alive. I mean, really, it was like a killing spirit.
Yeah.
It was like a killing. Ah! And it's like, oh my goodness. And of course, that's what Satan's always tried to do, you know, and it's not people, it's spirits. And I'm not talking about people, but it would want to snuff it out. And so as quickly as possible, you know, I knew that we needed to go public. And so we began to pray. And as we began to pray, we were standing our watches, and every Monday, you know, the BFN family stands a 24-hour prayer watch. We call it prayer and fasting community, where we just, you know, pray over the nation, pray over the leaders, and pray over certain situations. And I got to tell you, after we come right back, what the Lord told me that day, which changed everything. We're talking about, you know, how this all came about. We're just sharing with you today about, you know, why VFN TV and the Deadly Radio program. And we knew that after meeting in this several different particular meetings and watching the spirit that was in the land, which we've seen it on many occasions, but to see it in the secular realm is a whole new thing when you begin to see it in the secular realm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, oh my goodness, that means the church is pretty much, you know, given over to it. And so we had to become very public. One is that we wanted the treasure to get to you. We want this revelation to get to you. We understand that it takes the constant conversation to begin to first say, you know what, after hearing us for a little bit and understand, hey, and you become open to it. It's because our hearts become hard, and the constant conversation, just listening to VFN radio, begins to soften your heart. And as it begins to soften your heart, then all of a sudden the content of the power of God begins to go into your heart, and it'll make sense. We understand that as you listen, yeah, maybe all you do is just listen for a while and get hope and begin to see the crust come off of your heart and the no feeling anymore coming off your heart. And as your heart softens, then the seed of the kingdom of God will just fall into your heart and begin to produce a harvest of what you've been wanted all your life. And the enemy's been trying to hold it back. And that's what this is about. So to do that, how do we get this revelation that God has given to all the world? And so in a time of prayer and our Monday 24-hour prayer watch that happens, you know, I'm praying and I'm just seeking, you know, God, this is what you want. I can sense it. This is the direction. I immediately turned away from any answer being political.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, as I was praying, he showed me how VFN TV and VFN radio would go around the world. He showed me what the key elements were. And it was just amazing. It was totally amazing how that came to pass. And when I shared it, I mean, I shared it, you know, Pat and I are talking about it, mm-hmm. that immediately, and then, you know, Pat is not, he didn't know how to produce a radio program in this way of doing mm-hmm. things, although he's been working in VFN TV for quite some time, but in taking it to the world is a whole new a TV station
mm-hmm.
and a radio station. And so, but we met and he agreed, you know, says he's going to just start going in that direction. And I agreed we're going to go in that direction. And that week, God provided finances that came out of nowhere to be able to purchase a lot of equipment
mm-hmm.
that we were even using today.
Mm-hmm.
And it came just right at that one moment, that one time, you know, God confirmed again,
right.
you know, through the revelation, through his presence, and through the provision, this is the way that he wanted to go. And in that, you know, I began to meet with, because you look at Daniel, you look at the church as being in captivity, and Daniel wasn't taken on too kindly by the people with an authority there, you know, because they didn't want the people to be free. They still wanted them to be in captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. And so I think he had like a lion's den experience. He had a fiery furnace. Oh, at least Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a fiery furnace experience, and that ones that stood for God had this kind of experience. And so I knew in my heart, because we already were had a low profile. It was a low profile. Mm-hmm. We could have just kept on going. You never would have known we were there. Right. We would have progressed through lineages of family growing and people being one of the Lord's versus a blanketed message. And this is a prophetic message going out to the world and to the hearts of men, reaching out to the church, which are believers, to those that have gone astray, who once was walking with God but have left God, and those are being drawn to God. It's not to the people in the world who say they don't want God, but that's who it is. And then, but I knew in my heart to take this turn and this walk, that it's literally, potentially can be a walk to a fiery furnace. I mean, because when you're coming against an entire large group of people held captive by the adversary, and a lot of religious spirits and all the things that are out there, that a fiery furnace could be in the future. It might not be a fiery furnace, but it could be, you know, imprisonment. It could be some sort of false charge or something just to stop you, whatever it is, to defame your name, to do whatever they could. I mean, you look what happened to General Petraeus when he began to start making a step in the right direction. All of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, something that they knew all along, they said, this is the time to bring it out. And they defamed his name, and people bought into it. Mm-hmm. People bought it. It was amazing. People totally bought into it. You look at the times over and over again, you see these different things happening. And that's what the enemy does. The thing is, you got to be strong enough not to believe the lies of the enemy. Realize that Jesus was nailed to a cross, and he was absolutely right. You have to realize that half the New Testament was written from a prisoner named Paul who was in jail, and it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't define God's people by what the enemy does to them. You're going to miss God. You can totally miss God. But then again, our desire is that it wouldn't happen. So I met with the leadership. I met with the leadership and said, listen, this is the direction we're going to go. And this could walk towards a fiery furnace, some sort of situation that basically this would be a fiery furnace, that that you're going to be destroyed in the fire of the situation if Jesus is not in it, or if Jesus doesn't show up in it in that situation. Because Jesus can be in it, but it's just your time.
Mm-hmm.
And what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you can throw us in the fiery furnace, and our God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, he's still God. And mm-hmm. that's our viewpoint.
Right.
And so when I went and talked to the leadership and one at a time and told them about it, that they all just said, let's go. Let's go. They realized the direction that we're going, you know, that it's against the grain of the bondage that's out there and the traditions and the philosophies and the crazy things that's got God's people held captive and not even knowing the elementary things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cool, you know, that everybody was going, yes, let's just do it. Let's just totally do it. And, I even went to my own family and talked to my wife and my children and asked, you know, talked to them very specifically because, you know, how people like to be able to destroy you and it would mm-hmm. be them too. You know, then we try to hurt them or harm them. And I'm just so cool that, you know, when I talk to each of them, how they're so, there's like, let's go for it. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. And I was just so proud of my family. They're willing to do it, understanding that they could be the one thrown their reputation, you know, thrown in mm-hmm. fire. And so that situation, you know, was a reality. So we're heading in that direction. And so then it was a commitment. Lord, we're committed to this. We're committed to this path and growing in this and you maturing us in this and willing, obviously, to lose everything in the hopes that we didn't die on the left side of not losing this revelation that you had given to us, God. And so with that, you know, with that, it's so important for you to know that everybody involved in VFN TV and the radio program made that decision to be able to go all out, you know, to be able to share with you. There's so much things that will take, it's going to take a long time to be able to unfold these things.
Right.
And, but we're making a lot of it available to you on the VFN Torch. We're making it available at VFNTV.com. We're also making it available to you if you want to even join one of the VFN family. You can do that as well. But listen, it's going this direction. This is the direction that God's taken his people. And so then came some reasons that was very, very important that it needed what God had made clear to us. If we didn't tell others what he had told us and shown us prophetically the direction of what's about to happen, then if anybody died in sin, if they died and they were heading in the wrong direction, and we could have told them, then their blood would be on our hands. And so now when God entrusts something to you, you're obligated before God to be able to tell it. Now, you're not responsible for their response, but you are responsible to tell them. You know, when you take on a false religious spirit, when you start thinking you're responsible for the response, you're being obedient to telling people, you know, what God has made clear to you. And so he says very specifically in Ezekiel that if you don't tell them what I told you, and what that is a watchman on the wall. God will tell some people what he's going to do, and they personally have to line their life up with it. But once they do that, they have to begin to tell what God is saying to others, so that maybe, and this is God's hope, and it should always be our hope, that the person who was walking in sin and in darkness would see that they were, and love God enough and hate sin enough to be able to repent and leave their life of sin and turn to God. That's always God's hope. No matter how far we've gone, or maybe you're gone that's listening, what he wants from you is to turn back to him. And so that was another thing. We had this, if we did not launch what we're doing now on the left side of this message, we would not have died on the right side. Mm-hmm. You know, if they would have snuffed it out on the left side. And the Lord specifically showed me, you know, the terrorist situation coming into America, showed me people being snuffed out. You know, show me it was an international situation. I mean, he showed me the consequences when we're looking at what happened in Newtown today. Well, God showed me so many deaths in America that a major airline, closed down and dedicated themselves just to moving the corpse, moving the dead bodies out of the situation, out of the where they were. And they were taking them to the Eastern Gate graveyard, the funeral, which is pretty interesting. So, you know, in a moment of twinkling an eye, the Lord could come back. Either way, I mean, great possible loss is ahead for America if we don't turn. So we had to, how could we sit on that? And how can we know that, how can we deal with that? God, your blood's on my hand if I didn't tell you.
Right.
Now it's up to you what you're going to do with it. My prayer is, and God's desire is, that you would go, oh, you know, I'm going to repent. I'm not going to, whatever that is happening out there, even if it's religious, I'm going to go back to God's word and move back to the original tent of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and move under the unction of his spirit. I'm going to abide with him, and I'm going to advance his kingdom and get rightly related with those who are doing so right there. And so that's another thing that, you know, was told, one of the driving forces that brought us out here. And it's amazing. I think about Peter. When I was talking to Peter, you know, Peter said, we've got to get this out. We've got to get this out. You know, and Peter started making T-shirts. If you hadn't seen, you can see those abiding T-shirts. I Abide T-shirts on the VFN torch, but that's it. We got to get this out. It just as soon as he saw the purity and the obviousness of what we're saying and what we're seeing God do and manifest, and it's just like this is it. It's not a thing. It's just the church being the church, and he just immediately began to resound with the word that was in our hearts was we got to get this out. And of course, then that's what I'm saying. That's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is about. He goes, yes, yeah. And it's just so cool. They hear those confirmations that are going on. But with the adversary knowing that we had this word, then you can be snuffed out. And the thing is that, yeah, life's going to end at some point. You know, and for us, it's a win-win, you know, for our lives. But we don't want it to end without a delivering. We want to be poured out like a drink offering, like Paul said.
All right.
And his ended on had been on a chopping block. You know, it said that he ran to the chopping block. I could see why, right?
Yeah, right.
I'd first say, is it sharp? Did you sharpen it?
It's very sharp.
You know, I've seen some dull knives.
Can you see well?
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness.
He has his thought out.
Yeah, he really does. He really has it thought out. And understanding that. So then that happened. And then, and of course, the meetings that I talked about, and these orders may be a little bit different right there, but the shock was, when we were meeting with secular leaders, was how strong the spirit was of the adversary on our government. It was just captive, held captive to strong. And it was all you could do. I mean, we walked out of that meeting just shocked, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
We were just shocked. There's nothing we could say. We're just like, oh, you know. And
okay.
Politics is not the answer.
Definitely.
That is definitely not the answer. There was a hope. And maybe one day that can be recaptured again. So then the next season was that we also began to see people, you know, being drawn to God and getting saved and being drawn into being in the church instead of just going to it. And you can find out more about that on BFN TV. But we saw also the same mindsets began to settle in to the people who've been freed. You know, in the call, the prophetic word written by Rick Joyner, he talks about this, where people are held captive, they're in a prison, then some of them get set free. But there's prisons all over the place, and that you can have a tendency to default to say, I'd rather be in captivity than to be free. And we begin to see people just fall right back into those religious mindsets, and you know, the whole thing is like, oh, there's lions, tigers, and bears, oh no, and they're just beginning to get terrified about, you know, staying faithful on the front lines and coming up. Let me tell you 10,000 reasons why I'm not going to tell you that I'm terrified,
right?
And I'm fearful that I'm not going to be out there. And then we sort of realize, my goodness. And so that's a stay. I mean, there's a time when new babes and they're growing in the Lord, and that, but there's so many others that we're going to be able to reach and begin the process, and not to push those that have begun to walk with God any further than their faith can carry them. So we can keep what God's doing, but we also can now begin to reach the people that nobody even knows about yet. Maybe it's you, you're listening right now, and say, listen, we've been looking for you, and we have a message to you, a message of hope for you, and God wants you, and God's got a plan for your life. In the extra hour, we're going to continue talking about what the Lord said. It's going to just really encourage you, it's going to excite you, and maybe you're the one. I just want to be able to share, the Lord laid on my heart, to just kind of share with you how we got here and what we're doing. And so it can be available for all those that are, you understand, it's good to know what's going on and how we got here and what's happening. And I'm just starting, just continuing on. If you can find out the beginning of the conversation in the first hour, and I'm just going to continue, I guess, part two of it in the extra hour, as I'm sharing about what God said to me and how we got here and how a revelation had been dropped into my heart that I had to get out. I had to make sure that it got out there before anything began to snuff it out or stop it, this side, the left side of right, you know what I'm saying? And wanted to get it out. And that the Lord specifically says that, you know, he puts watchmen on the wall and to warn his people. And if we warned them and whatever the response is, we've done our job.
That's right.
But if we don't warn them, and we knew to warn them, then that the person who may have would have turned to God, once they heard the warning, then that person's blood will be on our hands. They will die for their own sins. It will be the same as anybody else that didn't accept the Lord, but or turned back. But their blood will be on your hands because God wanted you. He told you, not just so you can go around, I knew that. You know, you're like the history lesson. That person that goes, yeah, I knew that. I knew that. It's like, we don't. Yes, you're not a prophet. You're just irritant. You're an irritant. You know, why? I don't even want to know you knew, because you could have told me beforehand. You said nothing because you're a coward and left us out here to suffer the consequences. You know, I don't want to hear what you knew. I want to hear what you know before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know
That's
what I'm
right.
saying? I knew. It's like, don't even go there. Don't even go there. So we're letting you know ahead of time. You know, and it's just so important to be able to understand. And so continuing on talking about that, you know, I talked about these meetings with secular leaders and the hope, and the hope is not political things. But as we begin to share the vision, we're able to go now on VFN TV and the Data Radio program. It's reaching all the way from, I guess, Japan, America, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big world. Anyway, we're available all over the world and in anywhere you have a sure. mobile device or smart TV or computers and all that. And it's really cool today because with Apple TV, that you can walk into your home or your office or whatever, and you pull your iPhone out, and you push a button on your iPhone for VFN TV, and all of a sudden it projects through the network onto your television, and you're watching VFN TV on your TV.
That's right.
You know, because of Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
Little inexpensive device that you can get that causes that to happen. And so while the phone is in your pocket, it's pulling in VFN TV, so it'll project on your. It's just really cool.
Wow.
I mean, technologies didn't even exist when God began to speak this out prophetically. And as a matter of fact, the first technology we got was in France as we began to move in obedience to what God was saying. I believe it was France. It was created in France, at least. But in that now we need to be able to get this vision out and, you know, get. And we're going to talk about vision hopefully today. We'll get to it. But get this vision out, because without vision, we'll perish. What's God's vision for this generation? What has God told us to do? We need to know it. You're looking at a church today with no vision. You're looking at government with no vision. You're looking at political parties, entire political parties with no vision. They don't even know where they're going. And you're watching grown folk look like fools because they don't know where they're going.
All right.
They're undefined. All right. And what was said by Chuck Pierce was, until the church gets defined, I'm paraphrasing, until the church gets defined, the governments are not going to be defined. That everything's being held captive right now because the church won't let go and come into what God has in store for it. And I believe what we're sharing with you is very specifically a part of that. And by us sharing this with you and you bearing witness with your heart and you beginning to move in this, that you're going to see God. When we just see God move powerfully, we'll have more testimonies maybe in the future. But it's just so many of them, we can't, you know, share this and the testimonies. But God's just all in it.
Mm.
You know, God is all in it, just like he is in the book of Acts as we're seeing a move.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able now to be able to speak out the vision, not only to the lost, but to and those that God's are drawing to himself, but the ones that are held captive. Listen, ask yourself this question. Really, truly, think about it. Think about this. If you've been going to a gathering, a church gathering, I mean, you're a believer, and you go to a gathering with believers, and you've been going for 10 years. 10 years.
Mm.
And you're still doing what you were doing 10 years ago. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And what is God telling me to do? And it's like, isn't something supposed to happen? It's like when a husband and wife get together and they say, you know, listen, we've been trying for 10 years now and we haven't been able to have a child. I mean, they're going to ask the question, something's wrong, you know, but when you've been gathering for 10 years and it's still the same folks or some sort of migrant situation, you have 10 migrate out, 10 migrate in, but it never, or the migrant believers who just kind of migrate from flock to flock, you know, and hold another story. And that's not church growth. That's theft. Oh, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what are you doing? That's not what, you know, or, you know, somebody, you know, anyway. Not going there, but asking yourself. So we're able to tell you, listen, I'm my words, because these huge walls around this prison of tradition and religion that you're in, and this men's philosophies that's got you captive, these radio waves, I'm getting to you right now, and I'm talking to you, and I'm telling you, listen, God's called you to be more than that. Listen, everything that's in Jesus is in you. Everything that Jesus did, you can do, and even greater things than these. God's called you to an adventure. He's called you to a personal relationship with him. He's called you to be the church and not just go to it. And you got to understand, the church is defined as a people. It's not a building. I mean, how could people in Nepal who are meeting under a tree, beating on a saw blade, and God showing up, they would, if they looked at the definition of church in America, they would think, I guess we're not the church. Mm. But yet they're seeing miracles, signs and wonders and salvations and all these different things. If it's just in America where you see a very few limited amount of movements and actions, but we've seen in VFM, we've seen it. We've seen Cancer Hill. We've seen just powerful dreams and words of knowledge and just, I can't go on to them, deliverances and all the stuff that you just see. It's just like normal type everyday stuff, actually.
Book of Acts.
The Book of Acts. And so in that, you know, I'm telling you, think about this. This signal is reaching over this big, tall, gray wall. It could be a stucco wall. And it's coming into your prison cell, which, you know, you get totally decorated and it's got carpet and remote controls and stuff. And I'm whispering to you, is it, everything God said you can be, you can be. You can believe again. You can believe again. God's called you to be free. Now, free under him, but free to advance his kingdom. Listen, the church in Jerusalem was so stuck on staying in Jerusalem that God allowed persecution to happen in Jerusalem to be able to scatter everybody but the leadership all over the world. And when they went, they preached the gospel everywhere they went. Listen, there's, if you just begin to share what you know, and there's ways, there's people that have heard and have prepared for you to be able to come. And we've also prepared for you to be able to come and get trained up and get launched. No, it's not rebellion. No, it's not. It's, and that's, you know, not going to be a part of what's going on. God's not going to birth anything in rebellion. But it's just like what called to do, what God's called. I mean, you got to hear from God. God will speak to you if you cry, God, what am I doing? And what do you want me to do in this generation? I don't want to die the left side of right. I don't want to die on the wrong side of this. I don't want to die with all the potential you put inside of me in captivity. I don't want to die. I want to be brave enough. I want to have that movie. I want it to be said of me that I use my last ounce of courage to deliver the gospel. And no matter what you do, if you use your last ounce of courage, you're like at the top of the list in the kingdom of God, because whatever it was, you gave it. You know, if it's one seed or 10 talents or 20 talents, whatever you had, if you poured it all out, you've maxed out in what God could do for you. So I'm talking to you. There's hope. But listen, they're not, the people who are holding and feel that captivity is right and feel like the book of Acts is a history book and that you can't walk in the same Jesus that's supposedly in them as in you, they're not going to be happy. They don't believe that. They're going to think the only way you can exist is you stay in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say. No, but they could. But there's others that are training you up and launching you out. They're not launching you out to break away from them. They're launching you out because they know you're related to them and you'll stay connected and you still have covering and you're accountable. It's totally different. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about, it's like, what are we doing? Are we going to sing that same song one more time? Are we going to do that same play one more time? You know, are we going to, what are we doing?
Mm.
And so, and they even say with buildings aspects of it, that a capacity of a building will grow to 100% at its maximum, and then it'll break off back down to 80%. It'll always be around 80%. It'll never be stay at 100%. And it's crazy. Like, so what we need to do is build a bigger building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about if you took it out of the building. Just think about that, and use the building as a training place that you brought people in and you trained them and taught them about being rightly related and begin to launch them and stay related to them as family that we're called to be, and that you can reach the world. You can reach the world by allowing God to be God in the context of his church. And so we begin to begin to cast this vision 24/7, because Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 says very specifically, don't be held captive by men's philosophies and traditions. And you could be held captive by that. And so with that, you know, and then one last thing that I want to share about that one of the Word of God says this, and I believe it's in Isaiah, that if you wait too late, you'll be bait. Mm-hmm. If you wait too late to tell them, even though you were supposed to tell them, you had the word to tell them, and they had the warning to tell them, but if you waited too late, you're bait. You know, because sometimes when people start seeing things, you know, fall apart, they start saying what they should have said a long time ago. And at that point, the whole thing is turned over to the adversary. And so it's too late. And, yeah. and understanding that even knowing that it could be too late, we launch because we still, even if it's a walk to the fiery furnace, and God has turned America over to judgment, and that he is going to say it someday, just settle down and serve the king. You know, that's what he told Israel. Mm-hmm. Settle down and serve the king. He said, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant, and I'll protect you there, and you'll prosper there. And we're ready, if that's what God says, we're ready for that. But we want to be able to tell you, because even Jeremiah was speaking consistently about this is what God wants, and this is, even though people were rejecting Jeremiah, now we talk about Jeremiah because when God eventually brought his people like 70 years later out of captivity, they were able to go back and remember Jeremiah's words and realize we got into this place because we didn't listen to God. And even if you got to be a Jeremiah, knowing what you got to go through, you may be called to be a Jeremiah in your generation. You got to continually say and speak the truth in hopes. And God says he had pity on his people. And he sent messenger after messenger, and they scoffed at him. They called, you know, everything in the book. And but he still sent Jeremiah to be able to warn them.
So true.
Yeah, it's so true. And so with that, even that point, and that's why the fiery furnace situation that I talked about, you know, is knowing that even if it's that, I mean, what a way to go.
That's right.
What a way to go. And it's not, I remember having lunch with Brother John Kilpatrick, who used to be my pastor at Brownsville Assembly, and revival, the Brownsville Revival had already happened, and we're towards the end of it. And And the thing he said was, which I think is pretty powerful because he studied revivals, you can see the mm-hmm. things that happened because it was just a very powerful move of God. He said that the miracle is that we survive revival.
Mm.
The miracle is that we survive revival. Why? Because the adversary does not sit back and just goes, cool, hey, you're advancing the kingdom of God and you're winning people from my armies into God's armies, mm-hmm. and he's not going to be happy about that.
Right.
That's right.
And quite often the price is the messenger ends up not making it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Or gets defamed or gets destroyed or reputation's destroyed. I mean, all kinds of things happen.
Right.
And so understanding that, that's the reason why we're doing it, to begin to tell you what God told us. No, we're not responsible for the response or your response, but we do want you to respond.
Yes.
Yeah, we want to see you in heaven. We want to see you. Listen, we're looking at all the great leaders, all the great leaders that have served so awesomely throughout the years, coming to the end of their life here on earth. I mean, you can name them one after the other. And Billy Graham today is like in his 90s. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to name them all. But who are the next leaders? It's you. It's you. You're the one. It's time for this army to rise up and understand, listen, we're the army of God, spiritual army of God. And we're called to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And in that, this army is going to rise up. I like the way that Rick Joyner talks about this army in the book, The Call. It's a prophetic vision that God gave him.
Mm-hmm.
But he showed the army. There was a third army coming. I believe God's working on that third army. The third army is going to do an awesome mm-hmm. work for the Lord. And great advancement and strength is coming to the church. So we've got to begin, in the context of that, is begin to redefine success. It's amazing what we call success. You know, men measure things by the abundance of things.
Mm.
You know, God does not measure it by the abundance of things because it's all his anyway. But men say, because I got more money, I'm more valuable. Now, people that want that man's money says that he's more valuable in hopes that they would get some of his money. When people are looking at marbles, they're playing marbles, kids are playing marbles, you know, whoever has the most marbles feels more powerful than the other. Somebody's playing Monopoly. Mm-hmm. The sin nature and carnal nature of a man or a woman is to say, hey, I got more property than you.
Mm.
If you're playing any game with Pat. No, it's a joke. But that competitive nature comes out and it's like it's valuable. And it's like,
right.
It's not really valuable in the kingdom of God. What's valuable in the kingdom of God is obedience, just obeying God. And right. What did God say to do? God said for us to go into all the world and preach the kingdom to all nations, all ethnos, all people. And then we wait for their response. We are not responsible for people's responses.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you begin to measure success by numbers, you start thinking you're responsible for the responses, and you get into witchcraft, and you get into manipulation, you get into marketing, you get into all kinds of concepts where you can cause them to gather, even though they don't even know Jesus, even though they don't even want his ways, even though they say, you will not bring his way into my marriage, you will not bring his ways to my family. 97% of the church today that profess to be the church are robbing from God today. You don't bring any of that bit in here. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've done that.
Right.
Because we measured success the same carnal way that a child would, like I got more marbles. But the truth is that we wait for the response. And he says, those that believe, there's a clue here. You got to believe.
Okay.
Yeah, we're believers. I like what Joyce Myers used to say. She says, we have a whole big church of unbelieving believers.
Mm.
Right.
And it's like, we're called to be believers. If you're not a believer, even though you're a member, you're not going to get into eternity in heaven, but you will get into eternity. And no matter what they told you, you're accountable by yourself. Our responsibility is to tell you, hey, you're going to answer alone for this, and I want to invest in you on this side of it, so when you do go there, you'll have no regrets. And so it's not about numbers, but since the carnal nature is about numbers, it's like those that have the greatest amount of numbers, people who are trying to find God with their flesh, migrate to the crowd like cattle do. You know, if cattle sees a couple cows staring at a fence,
mm-hmm.
the other herd comes over there and begins to stare at the fence too, and then all of a sudden there's a big herd there, and then all these other cows in the field, they start going, mm. What are they looking at? Right? That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they come and they look, because there must be something going on if there's a crowd there. And so there's this concept of saying, you know, that the crowd, the numbers are the success. And we want every person that ever walks on the face of this earth to be saved, which is the biggest crowd of ever, 6 billion plus people in that crowd. So it's not about that. It's about like, If you only define it by numbers and you don't even find out if they know God, if they're a believer, what are you doing? You're in the midst of that. There's probably some sheep. And the others could be wolves, and you're feeding the sheep to the wolves and hope that the wolves would like it so much they might become what they eat. When they're actually supposed to eat the Word of God, instead of eating the Word of God, they're eating the church.
Yeah.
And Paul said, I've warned you day and night with tears, nonstop, every single day. I warned you that wolves would come in amongst you and come in amongst your number and damage you and divide you and destroy you. It's like, there are a lot of the people, they're advertising to bring as many wolves in as they can, knowing they don't know God, knowing that they don't want God's ways, hoping that they might, but bringing them in around the one who is a believer. When Paul's heart was broken over the probability of a wolf coming in amongst the believers, today's church is advertising, bringing as many wolves as possible and gathering around a believer. Now, I could see if you used this huge gathering place of all lost people, and you had a few people who were in the ministry of reaching out to these, and it was an evangelistic move, but the church gathering did not meet there. They met somewhere else.
Right.
You know, that'd be cool. It's like a stadium. That's pretty cool. But if you just don't say anything and you have a whole bunch of immature believers scattered throughout that and you have wolves gathered around them, you're going to find that and you preach a message that, hey, once you said a prayer, you don't have to worry about it. You're going to find the ones that are there who are in the light begin to go into darkness and you're going to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what are we doing? Why do we have to do that anyway? Why did we redefine success? It's you go into all the nations, you preach the kingdom of God, and those who believe, which means you have to wait for their response. And Jesus said, when they respond to you saying they don't want him, you don't keep on pounding something in them or building a whole, changing your message, as if changing the message instead of changing your audience. And you dust the dust off your feet and you move on. You listen to them, you honor their decision, and you move on. It doesn't mean they won't make a decision later on, but you don't say, oh, because I want you to be saved or because I need some more members, that I'm going to go ahead and bring you in anyway. As a matter of fact, I'll put you on the board, or I'll put, this happens. I'll put you on the board because you're a businessman and you know how business is and you're going to be a good business. And like, oh my crazy goodness. And we're going to put you over Sunday school. I know you don't know Jesus yet, but as you're teaching the sheep, you know, about Jesus, then maybe you might find them. It's like, stupid. That's stupid. That's ignorant. That's just outright not even caring about the body of Christ. Not, he says, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me. And if you put an unbeliever over believers, that's what you just did to Jesus. Period. That's it. And that's exactly what Jesus says. So we have to redefine success. Are numbers important? Numbers are important in regard to, we want to know the number of how many people are saying, yes, I believe, of course. Right. It could be 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000. It could be, they don't have to all be in your building. They could be all over the place, in Starbucks. They can be in the library. They can be in a house somewhere. They can be in a, you know, whatever kind of place. They can be all over the place. But that we are leading people not to our organizations. We're leading people to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Listen, think about today's church, we consider Jesus' ministry a failure because he ministered to 12. He poured out his life to 12.
Exactly.
It's like, come on now.
And when he finally had a large group of number following him, he turns around to them and says, okay, here it goes. This is the message. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And every single one of them left. Mm-hmm. And that's when so many, the mindset of today is like, you know, you had a good ministry going. You know, why did you tell them the truth? You should have never preached repentance. You should have never preached the blood. You never should have preached dealing with sin because now you've lost your large group of people. And then Jesus even turned to the 12 that was still there that was helping put the thing together. That he says, what about you? Are you going to leave me too? And it's like, it wasn't numbers. If you who wrote the book, The Gospel, Placebo Gospel? Anyway, this particular writer,
Howard Pittman.
Howard Pittman writes this book, and he found out through a visitation in heaven that he defined success the way we're talking about, the world's way. And he began to look, and God took him through the Word of God. And he said through his, this is what he says in his book, that out of all the people that God, Jesus spoke to, only 25% of them, only 25% said yes to Jesus. You know, and the enemy begins to tell you, unless, you know, your marketing campaign brings in 80 or 90%, we're spending. Listen, this is what this insanity is. According to George Barner with the Barner Group, we're spending like $1.3 million. $1.3 million per baptized believer. In other words, for every person that finds God becomes a believer, and we're finding out too, we don't even know if they are or not in the system, you know what I'm saying? They might be a little bit better than the other people, but are they real believers? We just don't know, because you got so many people you're bringing in that aren't, and it's just it's confusing. But even just to say that he was, you pay $1.3 million. Listen, if you would have broke that up to $100,000, you could have got 10 believers. Said, listen, I'll pay your house off, and then I'll pay this off. Jesus loves you. He's like, I love this Jesus, and they give their heart to God.
All right.
Think about $1.3 million per baptized believer. Got payments on buildings that are like $30,000 a month, $50,000 a month. Power bills are like $20,000 a month. While the people that you gather, that they're starving, they can't get the car to work, they can't pay their rent, they can't move into place because they can't afford the security payment. What are we doing?
Think about that.
Yes.
Coffee in the lobby. You know what I'm saying? TVs, all this type of stuff. Well, it's the truth. You know, but we don't export this stuff all the way to the mission field.
Imagine if you moved the coffee, and I'm not against coffee. I like coffee. I got a lot of good friends that like coffee. But imagine this. That's just John that's against coffee. No, but imagine if you move the coffee counter, moved it out into the harvest field, and you didn't have it there and supposedly with believers. And they see this, but this is the harvest field. There are lost people for Wyndham. But just say, move it out there in the middle of your city and just give free coffee away.
Yeah.
Give a free Frappuccino, Napa, whatever away. And, which brings them in. And you're obeying God, because he says, go into all the world. It's not a great suggestion. It's the great commandment. And so that's what VFN radio and VFN TV is, that we're telling you. You know, we're encouraging you. Listen, you're not going to be left alone unless the Lord sees other things going on, and if he doesn't see fit. But understand, our intentions are to be here with you and to encourage you as you go and wherever God's leading you. Listen, if you don't have a fear of the Lord, which is the very first thing that you need to pray, God, give me a fear of the Lord. I want to fear the Lord in my heart. Because, you know, when you need fences, you need to be in captivity. Children need to be in playpens who do not have a fear yet of understanding. You touch fire, you get burnt, you go in the water, you get drowned, you crawl over in roads, you get ran over. And if you don't have a fear of God, but when you have a fear of the Lord, then the fear of the Lord keeps you. It's a gift from God. And and so what happens that when the church begins to be the church, it's like natural family. The church is a family. It's God, our Father. Jesus is not only our Lord, but he's our elder brother, the firstborn amongst the church. Mm-hmm. And we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're sons and daughters. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are fathers, spiritual fathers and mothers in the Lord. And so we're family. So just like God designed the natural family, we're supposed to imitate, just like Romans chapter 1 says, that you can look at what God created and you can understand him and the qualities and how he designs things. And so the church is not called to be an organization. We're called to be family. And I'll never forget that how strange in the context of traditional gatherings of church, how isolated people are and how intimidated they are and how unfamily they are. And even though people use the same terminology, the truth is you don't know me and I don't know you, which means I don't trust you and you don't trust me. And we're like sand in the hourglass of time and not connected. And it's like, how did we get to this point that we don't see family? And now look, family is being totally redefined in America. It's all kinds of things is being redefined. But you know what? The church left family. And the plumb line for the world is the church. And when we get back to what God says that we are family. Mm-hmm. And we cannot point at our dysfunctional captivity of religion and men's philosophies to say, you need to be like us, because that's probably the reason why they are doing what they're doing. But understand, if they go back and they see family, and everybody wants family, and it's so foreign to the human nature in America right now that people still don't even believe it when they have it. It takes a while for them to be confident enough to say, this is the real deal. This is the real deal. It's really good. And so what you might not get in the natural sense is walking with your biological family, because they may not come to God, and they may come to God. The church is a family, the body of Christ, and it's our Father God, elder brother Jesus Christ. And so since we're family, then we begin to reproduce. I mean, two people who don't even know how things work bump into each other, and next thing you know, you come out and says, we're pregnant. It's like, what happened? We were hanging out. and we reproduced.
Yeah.
And the church like can hang out for 400 years. It's like, did anybody have a baby? Is anybody, you know, aren't we supposed to reproduce? And if you're in a land that's had a spirit of abortion on it, If you're in a land that has been destroyed and emasculated, the father in a nation, you're going to see a low number society responding the same way. But when we begin to appreciate family again, begin to see how God has established family to be and how it's healthy. Once we're healthy, we begin to, you know, we reproduce after ourselves. But understanding that and seeing how things work, you know, God began to show me as we stepped out in obedience to God. He showed me standing on a rooftop, and he says, whatever I have shown you, whatever I have told you in secret, whatever I whispered in your ear, now I want you to shout it from the rooftops. And he showed me thousands and thousands of people gathered around. You couldn't see the end of them around this rooftop that I was standing on. I was talking like I'm talking now, and I'm delivering this evangelistic message. I'm telling you, God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. And I didn't have to finish because God had everybody so prepared they were ready to run at that moment to the altar. Let me tell you something. God is preparing a great move that's going to come on the face of this earth, and it's going to be greater. No building can contain it. The only thing that would be able to do is to stick an oar in the spiritual water and direct it going down the rapids of growth that God's going to bring to his church and what's going to be taking place. Listen, great things are ahead. The Lord's already shown us what some of the things are happening in the future. Yes, we know in part, prophesy in part, but the part that he's shown us is very, very exciting. You can find out more at VFNTV.com.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.